If you've seen the movie Gravity, you know that space travel isn't easy. Although the problems, weightlessness, radiation, being cooped up in a tiny capsule with the same people are less dramatic, they can all have negative impacts on our bodies. And scientists are putting more effort into understanding just what the risks of long-term space travel are on human bodies. We're joined now by New York Times reporter Kenneth Chang. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
I'll assume that you've never been to outer space, but what did astronauts tell you about what it feels like to be up there?
One of the first things they notice is that they sort of become congested because without gravity, all the liquid in your body starts rising, so everything gets pushed up into your head.
And then they have other things, bloating, their faces feel puffy. Do these things last throughout the rest of their lives?
No, they actually start to get used to it within a few days. So the body actually adjusts so that it sort of gets rid of the extra water. And so a lot of it they actually get accustomed within a few weeks.
Well, we have been going into space now for 50 years or so. Why are the effects of space travel on the human body still not fully understood?
Well, most of the trips weren't for very long, so even when they went to the moon, it was a couple of weeks. But eventually, if NASA's going to send people to Mars, that's going to be a trip lasting several years. And so they really don't have the knowledge of what happens to the human body over that long period of time.
But don't people stay on the space station for fairly long times?
Well, so the current residents in the space station are up there for 6 months at a time. So they can see what happens in 6 months, and there are changes that are seen in that time. The question is, do those changes continue after 6 months? Do they accelerate? Do new things happen after 6 months?
Isn't muscle atrophy a major problem during prolonged times in space?
Right, particularly in the lower body because they don't have to stand on anything. So the leg muscles, particular atrophy. The upper body actually had to push and pull a lot of things, so their upper body remains pretty healthy. So right now what they do on the space station is they have exercise machines so that they're trying to counteract that.
What about bones? Do they lose density?
Yes. Yeah, so again, in space there's no weight, so that the bones don't have to support your weight up there anymore. So the body says, I don't need as much calcium in the bones, and what they had seen earlier was that the density of bones was decaying at 1 or 2% every month for astronauts in space. And if you think about it over a couple of years, that would be a lot of the bone. But the exercise, in addition to helping the muscles, so they basically have a machine that's sort of like a running machine. So the up and down pounding basically simulates or tells the body there's gravity or something like gravity, and that tells the body to start producing bone again. So on the most recent flights, the astronauts have been coming back with bones that have almost the same density as when they left.
Even though they are weightless while they're doing these exercises?
Yeah, so they basically get bungeed to this running machine. So they're basically bouncing up and down. And that force of landing on their feet sort of gives off the signal to tell the body that there's forces and it needs to build up the bones.
And is it awkward to do those kinds of exercises when you're weightless?
They seem to be doing quite well. I mean, NASA a couple years ago sent up a new exercise machine, and it's because of the improvements in this exercise machine that they've actually brought the bone loss down.
Soon, NASA astronaut Scott J. Kelly will go to the International Space Station for a year-long stay, and scientists will compare him with his twin brother. What are they hoping to find?
So Mark Kelly was NASA astronaut as well. He retired a couple years ago. So they'll probably take his blood, measure his heartbeat and such. And I'll give him data of someone living on Earth and compare it directly with his brother who will be spending 12 months in space.
And right now they seem to be pretty much equal in terms of bone density and muscle strength, et cetera?
I believe so, yes.
A few years ago, scientists realized that the eyeballs of some astronauts had become squashed. What causes that?
They don't know that. That was actually a big surprise when they found this out. It was a couple astronauts on the space station, and they sort of noticed they were having trouble seeing things close up. And so they started doing, they were both physicians, so they started doing eye tests on each other and found out that this was indeed the fact. And
so it was making them farsighted?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, and by itself, that's not a major issue. You just wear glasses, and you can see fine. But the worry is that there might be some more serious physiological changes of which the eyesight is just a symptom of that. And right now, NASA doesn't really understand what's going on. The most obvious candidate is that the fluid shift, so the things that cause the puffiness in the head, would also be increasing the pressure within of the fluids inside the skull, and then now be pushing on the eye and sort of flattening it.
Well, I would have understood that happening as the ship is taking off, and you're facing all of that pressure upon your body, but this continues as they're floating in the space station.
Yeah, again, without gravity, the fluids in your body just rise up. So that sort of, you have all this water that is normally in your legs pushing up on the rest of your body, and it all goes into your head.
And then I read that it had more of an impact on the right eye than the left eye?
Yes, and more in men and women, and this they don't understand.
So, yeah, well, it seems hard to understand why it would have more of an impact on one eye than the other. What about the heart? Your heart is pumping in a weightless condition. Does it have to pump harder or less hard?
This was actually one of the surprises that they found as they were doing research. So, again, their expectation was all this fluid was moving upward higher in the body, and therefore there would be the pressure inside the heart would be higher. They actually did measurements of astronauts in space, and they found out that the pressure was actually lower, and that was actually another big surprise. And then, so they really don't understand quite what's going on with the fluids inside the body in space.
Well, we do all sorts of tests on in space to find out how crystals develop and such. Does understanding these health issues, is it assumed that we will then be able to understand better how certain disorders happen on Earth?
That's one of the hopes of the benefits of being in space. So when I talk to people at NASA, some of the doctors described to me that they sort of think of being in space as accelerated aging. So so the bone loss is sort of like how the elderly lose bone as they get older. So some of the countermeasures that they've discovered to slow down the bone loss, so in addition to exercise, they also take medicines now, can be also be applied on Earth.
Now, in science fiction, ships sometimes rotate to create gravity. Would many of the problems that astronauts have be solved if there was gravity on a spaceship or on a space station?
Presumably, yes. So if you rotate the spaceship fast enough, you could have just as much gravity on up there as you would on the ground, and then presumably you wouldn't have any of these problems.
But would you have other problems trying to get a spaceship to spin that fast?
Right. So first you have to the spaceship has to be big enough to spin, because if it's not big enough, then you actually get dizzy. Mm-hmm. Because your head would be spinning slower than your feet. And then there's a question of how fast you need to spin it. And it's more complexity for doing a mission, so that if they ever need to do a spacewalk, they would actually have to slow it down and stop it before the astronauts could go out. Mm. And you could just imagine something breaking and spitting out. So it's just more complexity for doing artificial gravity.
Well, you have been telling us that so many of the things that have happened are still not understood, and now we're in a situation where NASA's budget has been slashed a lot in recent years. It seems like even the possibility of a manned mission to Mars is at least 15 years away, the same 15 years away it was 15 years ago. Do people really see a possibility that we'll ever go to Mars? And second of all, have NASA's budget cuts cut back on the kind of research, the medical research that we've been discussing?
So I believe NASA has enough money for this. So NASA recently announced that they're planning to extend the life of the space station from 2020 to 2024. And one of the main things they want to do during those 4 extra years is so that they can get more data to understand some of these medical issues and really have them well in hand before they decide to go on a longer mission.
How long would a mission to Mars even take?
It's usually about 2.5 years. So it's 9 months there. You spend some time on Mars, then you come back for another 9 months.
Wouldn't astronauts on their way to Mars and even on Mars be bombarded with radiation, which would increase their risk of cancer?
Yes. So in particular, these high-energy cosmic rays that come from outside the galaxy. And yes, that does increase your chance of cancer later in life.
Do we know how to shield ourselves from those things?
Well, we know if you put enough mass in between space and the astronauts, that would help block it. The problem is that that adds a lot of mass to the spacecraft, and the bigger the spacecraft, the more expensive it is. So, no, that's something that they're working on.
Well, we've been talking about physical risks. What about mental and emotional risks? Given the amount of time involved in a Mars shot, shouldn't planets be concerned about the psychological impact on the astronauts?
Yes, of course. I mean, there'll be 4 or 6 astronauts, and they'll be basically stuck with each other for these 2 or 3 years. So they're already trying to think of, okay, how do we select people and find out, make sure that they're compatible for an extended period of time, and how can we pick up on any tensions before they become serious. So one of the NASA people was telling me that they were looking to develop computer systems that could recognize from the tone of someone's voice or from facial expressions that they were under stress, and then that would alert the medical officer that there's some possible problem and perhaps suggest how to diffuse the tension before it became a problem.
And, of course, don't send Yoko Ono up there with the rest of them.
Probably not.
Kenneth Chang of the New York Times. Kenneth, thank you so much for talking with us about this. I've always wondered what it would be like for me to go up in space. I've decided I'm not going to do it.
Oh, too bad.